Well, it's going to be a good next few weeks. Today I'm talking about a topic that all of us want to be better in, but few of us ever get better in. It's the topic of prayer. And it goes something like this. The question on the surface is, by the way, my name is Brian. I'm what's known as a senior pastor around here. Great to see everybody. What normally happens is we'll say, why didn't God answer my prayer when I asked this? Why is it when I pray, nothing happens? Nothing seems to happen. And actually, the deeper question there is probably, does God really hear me? Does God really care about me? Does God not like me enough to do something for me every once in a while? If God was actually a caring God, wouldn't he have stopped this from happening? That's the deeper question. Let's pray about it before we go further. God, we're looking forward to hearing from you today. At least that's what I'm praying that happens, because I want to get us to have you hear more from us. That's what I want. I want us to be able to have a conversation with you and be equipped to do that, not just today, but ongoing for a long, long time. So help me to be helpful in that endeavor, and I thank you for giving me the privileges to be able to talk about transcendent, important things. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. I have given a project to some of the people on our pastoral care team. I said, look, I've been hearing about a lot of healings happening in and around Crossroads, physical healing specifically. Would you please start cataloging those for me? And so they have. And I've got this document that gets thicker and thicker of crazy stories that are verified by people who have been there and seen it, and then the aftermath keeps going on. We don't talk about those things all that much for a bunch of reasons. One of the reasons is, I had one just happen to me this last week, and I'm not going to talk about it right now, but one of the reasons is because when those get talked about, those of us who prayed for something to happen and it hasn't happened, we sometimes can feel like a second-class person. We sometimes can feel like, why does God seem to pay attention to other people, not me? Well, maybe God healed that person of cancer, but what about my mom? Why, am I not good enough? Does he not care about me? Am I doing it wrong? No, there are so many things going on in the spiritual world when we pray. We just can't understand all the things that are happening and interwoven together. Many of us are so concerned about prayer. We're so afraid of talking to God that God might not answer us, and then our faith, what little faith we have, may actually be shattered, that we actually decide not to talk to God. Or we say, you know what, God is okay with me, but if I talk to him all the time, then he's going to just be sick of my voice. Let me tell you something. God is never sick of your voice. Never gets tired. Some of us, such as me, when I first came to know Christ in a personal way, I thought, you know, if I talk too much to God, when I really need it, he's going to go, oh my gosh, here's this guy again. My goodness, what's going on with him? But then, if I don't pray much at all, and then I finally pray, it's like God's going to go, whoa, wow, my man Brian is praying, wow. I better really listen close, because when this guy prays, woo, it's got to be an important thing. I was so misinformed. Maybe the heart was in the right place, but I was misinformed. I don't know. For some of you, maybe you only talk to God when you need a favor.
I only talk to God when I need a favor. And I only pray for God when I need a prayer.
You got that line.
So who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect the Savior? Oh, if I only talk to God when I need a favor. God, I need a favor.
Oh, that is a great song. Jelly Roll. God bless Jelly Roll. Let me be clear. God answers every prayer. Every prayer gets answered. It's answered with a yes, with a no, or with a wait. At times, God does have an immediate yes to our prayers. He hears it and he goes, yep, I'm going to do that. Boom. There's some things that God's going to do no matter what. There's some things that God is never going to do no matter what. And then there's some things, for whatever reason, He will only do if someone prays about it. It's the strangest thing. It's been the mystery of prayer since the dawn of time. There are certain things that just won't get done, or you won't get unless prayer happens. Billy Graham said that heaven is full of answers to prayer to which no one ever bothered to pray. We have no idea what could happen if we actually pray. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, verse 9. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus says, ask. God wants to give good things. He's encouraging us, saying, he says yes a lot. This is his default mode, is to say yes and to give his children good gifts. And at the same time, God sometimes just says no. And he says no to really good people who are really faithful and are praying a really faithful prayer. And it seems like it's the kind of prayer that he would say yes to, but no, sometimes he just says no. Jesus actually was told no, believe it or not. The Son of God himself in the flesh, was actually told no. It's just before he is on his way out to get tried and crucified. It's his last moment of freedom. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And somewhere along the line from age 0 to 33, he came to understand what his mission was. The Bible said he grew in stature and wisdom. So somewhere along the line, he started to understand, I am actually the Savior of the world. And somewhere later in the line, he started to realize, oh no, this means I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb. I'm going to be the one that takes the hit for sin. He's the one who's able to do it because he never commits sin. He never takes a hit for himself. He only takes it for other people because he's never actually done anything against God's will. He's the unblemished lamb, to use an Old Testament metaphor. And right before he's arrested, he realizes what's going to happen. He doesn't like it. So he asked God, Matthew 28, 26, 38. Then he said to them, this is his friends who are with him, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And I'm going to go a little further on. And he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He says, God, I don't want to do it. I get it. I know what's happening now. I'm going to get crucified, the worst form of execution that humans have ever invented, and I don't want it. Please, this is a bitter cup. I don't want it. I don't want it. Please. And yet, I'll do what you want instead of what I want. And God said, I'm going to say no to your prayer because what I want is for you to go through with this. Sometimes God just says no to really, really good prayers, and it's just the way all of us have gotten no's. I've gotten a lot of no's. Just before I came to Cincinnati, Lib and I went out to California. There was a church that was open for a senior pastor. It had a pretty recognizable guy who was there and had left, and beautiful climate, big change, new adventure. We went, and we did the preach-off, thought we did really, really good. Interviewed all the people, came back, we said, we're going to California. That's just the way it is, going to California. And we were praying about it. It looked like God had said yes, and then no. God said no, and some other loser got the job. He did lose, because I got you. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. But God said no. Not long ago, there was a used motorcycle that was the perfect spec motorcycle I need for a trip I'm going to take to Alaska this summer. I'm going to ride to Alaska. It's the northernmost part in the northern hemisphere, up to Prudhoe Bay, and I need the right bike. And I'm praying about it, and I think I found the right bike, the perfect bike that'll do it. And a crazy steal, and I'm praying about it, I'm thinking this is it. And all that had to happen is one little piece of fall in place, and it didn't, and God said no. Okay? All right. There are spiritual gifts in the Bible that I prayed for decades, and I don't have them. God has said no. Now, I have some spiritual gifts that people would love to have, and there's other spiritual gifts I would love to have, and I've been praying for them, and God said, no, I don't get them. Or at least at this point, I don't get them. The question is, when you pray and you get a no, how do you act? Because your response to when you get a no tells you about what you think about God. If you think God is supposed to be the genie that fulfills your spiritual desire, then you're going to get bitter and upset and wonder why it didn't happen. But if God, you just love God no matter what he does or doesn't do for you, and when you get a no, it doesn't affect the relationship. That's when you really know what you think about God, when you don't get what you want, when things aren't going your way. We had a holiday in our family. It's this week. It's a holiday that we started in our family several years ago. It's called Tome Family Appreciation Day. Tome Family Appreciation Day was born out of the day when our family almost changed forever. I've told the story in depth. I'm not going to do it again right now. But suffice to say, I got a call from my daughter. Said, Mom's had a stroke. We need to get to the hospital. Went to the hospital. Lib couldn't talk. She couldn't move. It was terrifying. I've never known anybody who had a stroke that was able to come out of that sort of stuff. And we started praying and praying and praying. And this was her brain. If you look at her brain, you can see on the left side, you've got these little veins on the right where there's no blood flow. And on the right, after the procedure and after prayer, you can see blood flow was happening. It was pretty amazing. And God said yes. It was a miraculous healing. This is what it was like hours later.
Good. You're doing good.
It's okay. I'm getting a tip.
It's okay. I'm going to start moving it. Okay. Good. Go ahead and stop. Okay.
Amazing. No medical staff had ever seen her, anybody with her condition, walking steps the very same day, let alone doing tennis the next day. And I had resolved in my time with prayers, I was in the waiting room, I was resolved and I said to God, God, doesn't matter what you do or don't do, you and I are good. I trust you. I love you. My commitment to you is not dependent on what you do or don't do with this prayer, but please, would you give me my wife? Would you give me my wife who's able to enjoy life with me and the family? And fortunately he did, but I'd settled. If he didn't, it was going to be okay. Heroes in the Bible get no's all the time. Moses gets a no in going to the promised land when he actually had led them to the brink of the promised land. King David wants to build a temple, and in prayer, he hears from God, no, you're not going to build the temple. The Apostle Paul, responsible for more of the New Testament writings than anybody else, he said, for multiple times, I pleaded God would take the thorn in my flesh away. There was something that was a pain to him, and he was praying, and God just wouldn't do it. Why not? It's the Apostle Paul. He's a stud. He sacrificed so much. Whatever the story, why not? I don't know. Some things God just says no, and that's the way it is, and that's the way he operates. And then there's other prayers that God answers with a wait. Wait. Maybe it is a wait for the spiritual gifts I'm praying for. Maybe it's a wait. I don't know. But waiting is a key thing. The book of Psalm 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. You might say, oh, those words sound familiar. Yeah, it was also made into a song by U2. Many, many years ago. I waited patiently for the Lord. Waiting. Sometimes we pray the same prayer for days, weeks, months, years, maybe even decades. We're not going to give up because we think it's something that God should be pleased with, and for whatever reason, he's waiting, but we're not giving up. I have many of us, it's kind of a crossroads tradition for many of us. Started with me in high school when I came to know Christ. Someone told me about this. I've been doing this since, and thousands of us do this at Crossroads. It's called our paste list. Wherever we put toothpaste on our toothbrush, there's a group of names I always have in the upper right-hand corner of my mirror, and there are people who I know who don't know who Jesus is in a personal way, and I pray for them. So as I kind of do that whole thing. There's people in our church who were bearing weight who were on that list a long time ago. It's amazing. Many people in our church were on somebody's bathroom mirror because someone was praying for you by name. Who knows? The people in your neighborhood? people who you work with, they may have never had anybody utter their name before the throne of God. We have no idea what could happen if we just pray. It unlocks a special thing of power. And those names I have up in the corner of my mirror right now, they've been up there for a while. Those names have been up there for about 2 years, those same names. I'm not getting any traction with them, but I'm not giving up. Because sometimes you just wait. Jesus did so many powerful things that it's curious to me to see what his disciples picked up and what they're the most intrigued with. In the book of Luke, we're going to spend our time on what's known as the Lord's Prayer. If you have any church background, you probably heard this a lot. You probably haven't memorized. I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was walking with his disciples and they were seeing unbelievable things, what do you think it was that they were curious about and wanted to replicate themselves? Well, let's find out. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray." And he said to them, "When you pray, say..." They've seen him heal people, raise people from the dead. They've seen him hold crowds spellbound while he gave a sermon on the Mount. They've seen him have unbelievable leadership skills as he's amassing a movement of dozens and dozens and dozens of people who are leaving their former way of life and becoming his disciples. There's more than the 12. There's way more than them, just the 12 that we know of. And they're following him because he's cast a vision and he has these unbelievable leadership skills. And he's always the smartest person in the room. They can never corner him. They paint him in a corner and he asks them a question. It's a deeper question, the question they asked him, and they're flummoxed. They don't know what to do. Of all these things, disciples never say, "Jesus, teach us about leadership." We never have recorded, "Jesus, teach us how to hold a crowd spellbound." I never say, "Jesus, teach us how to win every argument," because you win every single one, all of them. Teach us how to do it. They say, "We've watched your life. We've seen what you do. Would you teach us how to pray?" That's the thing they wanted. What would you want? If Jesus could teach you something, what would you want? Wisdom to figure out the stock market? Ability to hold a crowd spellbound, ability to have his magnetic personality that people wanted. But what would you want? Probably not a lot of us. Our first thing would be, "Teach me how to pray because I want to be better than that." And that's why we're anemic. And that's why there's nothing special about our life. And that's why what we have is simply beliefs, and we debate beliefs, but we don't have a power that's coursing through us. We don't have a list of things that God's done that we can talk about. The refusal to pray is punishment for the refusal to pray. Let me say that again. The refusal to pray is punishment for the refusal to prayer. Because the greatest incentive to prayer is answered prayer, specifically answered prayer with a yes. But if we're not praying, we can't get any yeses, and we can't get our faith built. But the disciples were onto something here. So Jesus says, "Well, when you pray..." Now I'm going to read from a different version. Jesus gives this prayer two different times. Two times he gives it. One time when the disciples ask him, another time he uses it as a sermon outline. At least two times it's recorded in the Bible. I like how he puts it in Matthew chapter 6:19 because it's more in line with the prayer that many of us have actually memorized. Here's what it says. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let's stop right there. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. I like that word, hallowed. It's a different word, right? It actually means holy. But it's a more mysterious word. That's why I like keeping hallowed in there. It's this sort of this awe, reverence. Holy is your name. He's holy. Holy or hallowed means he's in a different category. He's in a different class. He's not like my man. He's not the big guy in the sky. He's not that. He's different, God is. He's always been. He always will be. He knows everything. He goes all places. He is all places. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has grace. He has love. He has infinite power. He is hallowed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let's keep going. I'll break it down. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or some people say it, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does he mean when he says, when Jesus gives this prayer, when he says, say, thy kingdom come, your will be done earth on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the place where everything is going according to plan. It's the place where God's holiness is reigning supreme. It's the place where the love of God reigns and there is never any frustration, never any sorrow, never any pain, and it's amazing. And Jesus says, you want to pray that those values, the charter of heaven, the constitution of heaven, comes to this earth. It's called the kingdom of God. And your prayers should be about that. That's the most potent prayers. You want a new car, you want a new motorcycle, fine, ask God, ask God. But the preponderance and the way that the prayer works is, how are those things fitting into the kingdom of God? When I pray something, if I don't think it would be high on God's priority list, I shouldn't expect a high hit rate. And what's high on his priority list is things that are like in heaven coming here to earth. Again, it doesn't mean you shouldn't pray and God won't say yes to some really, really cool things that maybe aren't obviously in heaven, like praying for a motorcycle. But if that's all my prayers are, I'm not in alignment with this prayer. Your kingdom come. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. To delight ourselves in the Lord means we're in sync with his heartbeat. It means we have a warm affection for him. It means we're pliable and moldable before him. We just enjoy him, whatever he does or doesn't give us. Now, if you have that as a relational attribute, then get ready for a lot of yeses. Because as your heart is morphing towards God, the things you're going to want are going to naturally morph towards God, and the hit rate of your yeses goes up, up, up. But if you want it, you should take that as a start of, okay, I should probably pray it, especially if you're walking pretty close with God. It's a big deal, and it's really, really good. Give us this day our daily bread. This was tying into their Jewish history. Back in the Old Testament times, the nation of Israel was wandering the desert for 40 years before they entered the promised land. And God would meet their needs by sending them manna that came from heaven. Every day it would come down, sprinkle on the ground, and they could go out and have just enough. They could gather as much as they wanted and eat as much as they wanted, but they only could eat it for one day, and then it would go bad, and they had to depend on God the next day for the daily bread, for the manna the next day. And this is the way it was every day except the day before Sabbath, and they got 2 days worth because they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. This is what Jesus is talking about here, saying in my prayer life, God, would you give me enough to get through the day? God may not have given me $1 million. God may not have given me a lake house. There's a lot of things God's not given me. Well, I'll tell you what he's given me. Every day is daily bread. Every day. I mean, every day. There's probably not many of us here, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what site you're part of, Crossroads, no matter where location you are in the country, there's not many people here who've ever been hungry beyond, I can't wait for the next exit on the highway because I've got to get myself a Big Mac. Or beyond, I'm intentionally going hungry for some dietary thing or for some spiritual thing. God's really good at daily bread. Just about all of us don't even think about it. We have daily bread. We have more than enough calories. Obviously, look at us overweight Americans. We have more than enough calories. and we're not worried, most of us, about shelter or about our clothing. And when you come to see these as gifts of God, you always start every prayer session off with gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, because you see what God's already done, and then you wonder, what else could he do? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All of us have amassed a debt before God. It's the things that we've done that God hasn't wanted us to do. And so when I pray, I've got to make it right with him because I want to be in a relationship with him. And when something has gone wrong between any relationship and somebody doesn't confess it, it's going to be a problem. It's going to fester. The most important thing is our relationship with God. So we've got to keep the accounts clean. And if we're receiving forgiveness from God, we've got to be willing to give other people forgiveness, to be people of grace, to be people who cut slack, give second chances, say you're forgiven. That should be really natural for us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is an interesting little phrase here, because the Bible makes it really clear that God does not lead us into temptation, that temptation does not come from him. It comes from a wicked, evil force that wants us to get us away from God. James 1:13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." So if God tempts no one, then why would Jesus tell us to ask God to not lead us into temptation? I think the heart here is that there's a line of this is okay and this isn't okay. And I think what's happening here is the heart of the person who gets a lot of yeses in their prayer and talks with God says, "God, if I can't do this, I just want to say, I don't even want to go towards the port of temptation. Don't even get me close to the line of temptation. Just help me there, God. I just want to be extra diligent that this isn't about a moral thing, but it's about my heart before you. And I want my heart to be good. I want it to be okay." Nothing kills a prayer life more than unconfessed sin and rebelliousness. You find someone who isn't confessing their sin and is rebellious towards God in something, you'll find someone who does not have a prayer life. You wouldn't know that, because if they're around the church world, they know how to fake it and they'll have all the lingo, but they're just not talking with God. Because we're like this. When we have done something wrong to somebody else and we feel bad about it, or we don't want to get found out, we just don't want to be around that person so we don't get found out. It's awkward. And that's the way many of us are in our prayer lives with God. We're anemic because there's things we haven't dealt with him. You can deal with them. Just forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Talk to him about it. Move it on. He would love to hear your voice. He would love to get to a new place. I've been looking forward to giving this talk a lot because I'm a big believer in prayer. At the same time, I'm constantly frustrated by prayer. About the only time I'm ever satisfied with my prayer life is the first 5 minutes after I leave a prayer meeting. That's about the only time I'm satisfied with my prayer life. I've been regularly frustrated with it. I enjoyed the prayer meeting I led this last Monday, by the way. Hey, you can still jump on the digital fast. You can fast for 30 days of something from your device, 20, whatever it is. It's been amazing. I don't feel like I've lost anything. I feel like I've only gained things so far. I'm reading more than I've ever read before. I'm actually praying more. Not ever, but I'm reading more. I'm praying more. It's really solid and really good. And so we're filling things outside of the things that we would just do with our devices, looking at YouTube, all the news stories. I got to tell you, the news fast has been phenomenal. I thought it would be tough. It's been awesome. Someone comes up to me and says, "Did you hear like the market's down 2.5%? No, I didn't hear. Didn't I hear? And don't care at all either. Thanks for trying to ruin my day. I'm on a news fast just so I don't get depressed with things like that. There's so much that's happening. I find myself just not as cynical already 10 days in, not as like on edge 10 days in. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. The prayer meeting I led this last Monday went really, really well. I'm going to be in prayer, a prayer meeting on Monday. It's in all of our sites. I'll probably lead some others elsewhere as well because it was nice to slow down. And they're hard. It's hard to focus. But every time I do it, I feel closer to God, and I'm glad that I did. And that's why I said it before. I'm glad I did, because I generally feel like I don't pray enough. I generally feel like I'm not doing the right stuff with prayer. How much of that is true? How much of that is just being hard on myself? I don't know. All I know is if you find it hard to pray, I get it. I understand it. It isn't simple. It isn't easy. And I've been excited to talk about this to give us some really simple, helpful tips. Also realizing that you don't improve your prayer life by a good sermon. You don't improve your prayer life after a week. There's parallels between the spiritual world and the physical world. If you want to improve your physical fitness, you can't just hear a talk about spiritual fitness. That doesn't do you anything. Not only that, you can't just hear a talk about physical fitness and then go out and work out the next day and feel like, woo, woo, okay, I am getting stronger over here. I'm nailing this cardio thing. No, no, no. Even after a week, even after a week of working out, you probably feel weaker and worse and sore. Any of us who've taken care of ourselves physically or trying to, no, it's a long haul. It's a long haul, and you can eventually build capacity over the long haul. This is the way prayer is. You have to be committed to it. You have to be on your knees or in your prayer position and be willing to do it for periods of time when your mind wanders, you can't focus, and you don't know what's going to take place. But you do it because you want more of God. Be regular. Three quick hits, and then we're going to pray. Be regular. Be aligned. Aligned with God, aligned with the kingdom, and be specific. Be regular. What is the time you pray? We can pray at all times without ceasing, we should, but what's the solid time when you pray during the day? Well, you know it's going to be you and God. Be aligned with the will of God as you understand it. Be specific. We say things like, God, I pray for Janet. Okay? I pray for Janet. It's like saying, God, I talk to Janet. Praying for Janet doesn't mean anything. What are you praying? God, I pray that Janet would find new freedom by not looking at her freaking phone during the fast. God, I pray that Janet would find the right person. God, I pray that Janet would get a B at least on her exams this week. God, I pray. What is the specific thing you're praying for? When we got the building that I'm preaching in right now at Oakley, it was very specific. We prayed that God would blind and confuse our enemies who are bidding against us on Wall Street, and we would get it for $4.6 million. That's what we're praying for. And we got it for $4.6 million. We probably should have prayed to get it for $18 or something like that. It's a specific thing. Some of you, when you came in today, you saw this, and some of you might have gotten a little twitch because this might remind you of a previous church that you may not, you know, be all that excited about. That's between you and God. But there's some really good things about ancient religious traditions. I think this is one of them. When I pray, my best times of prayer aren't when I'm just sitting in my chair, though that's fine, and God hears me that way. My best times of prayer are when I'm doing something, on my knees in a different posture, or walking, doing a prayer walk. 200 AD or so was the first time it was recorded that a martyr was placed in the catacombs, and the Christians lit a candle. It was a form of praying, lit a candle. Light oftentimes relates to interacting with God. Maybe the first example was Moses talking with God in front of a burning bush. Jesus calls himself the light of the world. I think it can be a really healthy discipline or a healthy experience every once in a while to light a prayer, light a candle, and make that a physical thing you do while you pray. So I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer right now in a little more depth. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer a little in depth. You can follow along with me as I pray it. You can say to God, yes, I make that prayer too. Yes, 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 yes. And then you all got a candle when you came in, right? All of us did? Yes, good. We're going to do something on that candle. And no, it's not a pre-Christmas Eve candle. No, it's not. We're going to do something a little different with it. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. God, I recognize you as the one who is above all, who's a through all. You are different. You're beyond me. You're better than me. You have more goodness than me. You have more character than I have. You have an enduring spirit. You have steadfast love in your mannerisms. You always give second chances. You have power and potency beyond what anybody has. You have a master plan that you're working that I don't understand, but I trust in you. I trust in you because you're better than me, you're higher than me, and you're not me, and I'm thankful that you're not me. Oh, you're good. You're just so good and so great. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. God, I'm tired of the divisiveness. I'm tired of the cynicism. I'm tired of it. That's not what's in heaven. It's not who you are. Would you bring your kingdom here, please? And let's start with this place called Crossroads. Would you make us the least cynical, least critical people in our communities? Would you make us the most loving, most patient people, most character-oriented people. Your kingdom come. Will it come here? Will your will be done on earth, in our community, in our cities? Whatever's happening in heaven right now, we want it here. We want more forgiveness here. We want more caring for the poor here. We want more jobs here. We want more wealth here. We want more second chances here. Would you bring more of your heaven to our city, to our community right now? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, I thank you for giving me more than just daily bread. You've given me enough food to eat that I probably could stand to lose 5 pounds. You've given me, God, there's not a single thing I need. Not a single thing I need. There's some things I want, but it's even hard for me to think about things I want. But I do ask you, God, would you keep meeting my needs? Would you keep meeting our needs? Would you meet the needs of people in our community who do go hungry for reasons that are not spiritually or choice oriented? Would you meet the basic needs that we have, including the needs of community, our basic needs of communal connection and relationships? God, I pray for the loneliness epidemic that's happening in our country. It breaks my heart. It's horrible. I pray for those who are with us right now who have ideated on suicide as a result of their loneliness. God, give them daily bread right now. Daily bread to keep going on. Daily bread to be satisfied with what little you have provided. Even if it's a little, it's more than if you weren't involved in our life. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. God, I'm sorry for the little white lie that I told Lib this last week when she said, "Are you on your phone?" And I said, no, I'm not on my phone. I was. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for being frustrated with children of yours. I think I'm overly frustrated. There's some people that they've taken up too much of my mind space. They have to be dealt with for sure, but I think I've fixated on them too much. And they're still a child of yours, and I've spent too much time fretting about them, rehearsing my lines to them, and not enough time praying for them. I ask you to forgive me for that. The sin of impatience, the sin of judgmentalism, the sin of assumption. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Now, what we're going to do is you've got a little candle. and you're going to get to pray for somebody. Now, don't get too freaked out, because it's going to be a by rote prayer that we're going to tell you what to pray. We're going to give you these words, and I think it'll be a cool thing for you and the person beside you. In the book of Numbers, there's what's known as the Aaronic blessing, where Moses' right-hand guy gives this blessing to the people. And here's the prayer modification. What's going to happen is we're going to have ushers go down all of our aisles at all of our sites. They're going to light somebody's candle at the end, and then you're going to turn beside somebody with that illumination representing the light of Christ or the light of God or the presence of God. And you're going to light the person's candle beside you, and you're going to pray for them. And you're going to pray, and you can just read it off the screen. All you need is to mean it. You're going to say, "May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace." You realize the person beside you may have never had someone pray for them or not pray that. So just light their candle and look at them and pray that. And then they're going to take the candle and go to the next person beside them. They're going to say, "May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you and give you peace." And then you go to the next one. We should hear a beautiful murmuring of prayer happening in all of our rooms, all right? God, would you make this a holy moment that blesses us? Give the right person the right eyes, and the right person, the right ears to hear and receive.
Pray. That's who you are, God. And we believe it. That you are the God of all power, the God of healing. You're the God of yes, you're the God of no, you're the God of wait. And we follow you, we trust you, and we call on you. Amen.